Fear, be it rational or irrational, paralyzes many a life. But what is it? What causes it? What impact does it have? How can we get over it? And how can Jesus help? All questions I'll be asking experienced Christian counselor Bob Silberman. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program today as we take a look at fear from a different perspective. Now, fear is something that we've talked quite a bit about on the program over the years. Two reasons. Firstly, because we all experience fear. We all find things to be afraid of. It's because there are so many things out there outside our control that can impact negatively on our well-being. But also, we've talked a lot about fear because one of the things that God says quite a bit through his word is, do not be afraid. God is a God who wants his perfect love to cast out all fear and to give us peace. Today we have a fantastic opportunity to look at fear from a different perspective. If you've been able to join us earlier in the week, you'll know that I have a special guest on the program, a man by the name of Bob Silberman. Now, Bob is a clinical psychologist, a Christian counselor, and he also spends a lot of time talking with people about issues and problems in their lives. One of the things that Bob's identified as one of the top five reasons that people come to see him is this whole issue of fear. So I'm really looking forward to seeing this fear thing from a different perspective. Bob, welcome again today on the program.
Hi, Bernie.
Fantastic to have you here. Now, Bob, the other day, you and I were chatting about anxiety, and yet today we're going to talk about fear. Are they the same thing? Are they different? Are they related?
They're different, but they're related. Fear is a response to a threat.
Right.
And so we might experience or perceive a threat that's coming our way, and we can become fearful. And then that will cause us to react in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And the fear can be real or it can be imagined, but it's still a fear.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter whether it's real or imagined.
Well, you can define a fear in lots of ways. Mm. Let me give you an example. There was a woman that I treated some years ago. She was frightened of birds. Mm. She would not go into the backyard and hang out the washing without first sending the dog out to scare the birds away, then the children to chase them away. Mm. And if a bird flew overhead, even quite high, she would run inside and hide.
Do people feel odd about having fears like that? Do they kind of go, does she come to you and say, look, I feel really silly, I have this fear of birds, or how does that work?
She was referred to me by her pastor because mm-hmm. it was affecting her life very mm-hmm. seriously. But she had hidden that fear for many years.
Really?
So people will hide their fears because they recognise that they're unusual. It's not the normal way to respond. They meet others who are not fearful like they are.
I guess in a sense, some rational fear is a good thing. I mean, it's probably a good thing that I'm afraid of funnel web spiders and red-bellied black snakes. It makes me keep away from them and they're deadly. But is there a difference between good fear and bad fear, and rational fear? Am I getting the distinction right?
We need to be fearful of things that will harm us. Mm. So we have to be wise. And we teach our children, don't run out in the road where there are trucks and cars. You could get hurt. There are fears that come our way and we can't explain them. They're just responses to events or situations. And we can become so fearful that it affects how we function on a day-to-day basis.
So what are we doing when we experience that sort of fear? I mean, why do we do that? What's going on?
It's part of our safety. I believe that we need to have some fears just to be safe.
But the bird flying overhead, right? What's going on when you start to experience that sort of fear? Where did that come from?
Well, what happened, it took us 6 months to finally work out that when she was 3 years old, their favourite goose mm-hmm. used to chase her and bite her.
Okay.
And the family had filmed it and mocked her at times when they showed the film.
Okay.
But the film got lost.
Yeah.
And it took her a long time to remember what really frightened her. The result was that when we began to address that fear, her fear of animals, particularly birds, changed. My last contact with her, she was taking the children to Centennial Park in Sydney, feeding the ducks.
Isn't that great? It's amazing how complex we are as people, isn't it?
We certainly are. There's no simple solution in a human term.
So how do you help people face their fears and deal with them?
The most important thing, I think, is to identify the fear or the group of fears. And so we help people, I talk to them and get them to think through the things that they have become fearful about. And when we identify them, we try to do a process of changing their thinking, which will change their behaviour.
Okay.
And so that's, to me, where we can bring Christ into it, because he can help us to change our thinking. St. Paul said, renew your minds by focusing on Christ. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, take me back to being afraid of birds, because this is a really good example. With a lot of people, not birds, it's something else.
Absolutely.
How do you help a person who's afraid of birds just step through that to the point where she'd go and feed the ducks with the kids?
We did it as an interesting process. First of all, on one occasion, I actually went on site with her, and we went to the beach where there were a lot of seagulls, and she showed me her fear showed because she wouldn't get out of the car.
Yeah.
She literally could not get out onto the beach because there were seagulls sitting on the beach. That was a sad event for her.
Yeah.
But slowly we encouraged her to approach the birds from a long distance, and progressively she began to recognise her fear. The fear created severe anxiety for her.
Yeah.
So we treated the anxiety. And as she began to treat the anxiety produced by the fear, she slowly began to get better.
Have you ever experienced that sort of fear?
I guess I've played around with scary things like collecting funnel web spiders.
Right.
I've always been extra cautious, I think, but everybody has a little bit of fear, but I've never been disabled by fear.
For anyone who doesn't live in Australia, funnel web spiders are one of our particularly dangerous variety of spiders.
They are, and snakes too.
Yeah,
we do have them, and we have to be careful around them.
Yeah.
There are others who are so skilled at handling them, they have no fear.
What's another example of fear that you've met with someone?
Probably the one that I most commonly see is the fear of getting into trouble from somebody.
Okay.
I often experience this in terms of a wife is afraid of a husband getting very angry about something that she's done.
Is that more the husband's problem? I mean, is it because some men just have anger in their marriages?
They do. And so some women are afraid of doing something wrong and getting punished, verbally mostly.
Yeah.
But verbal punishment can be more severe than physical punishment for some. And so that's a very fear-producing thing. There are also men who come home and they're quite frightened of their wives. So it's both ways. Children frightened of parents.
Incredibly sad. Okay. Someone's listening at the moment today, and they're dealing with some real fear in their lives. If you could give them one piece of advice, what would that be?
I think the first thing to do is to identify the fear, whatever it is, and to recognise that it's real and that it's actually affecting you as a person. The next thing to do, I think, is to speak to someone who you trust and talk to them about it and share with them this fear. You don't want to feel criticised, you want them to believe you. And as a clinical psychologist, people say to me, "You believe me, do you? No one else will." My response is, "Yes, I do believe you. Let's now address it." Seems to me there's one other thing that I think is most important, is to pray.
Well, we'll have to cut it there. We're running out of time. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.
It's a pleasure.
Social media, love it or hate it, it's a powerful reality in the lives of billions of people here in the 21st century. Of course, some terrible things happen in that whole social media world, which is why it's so important to use this medium to bless people for God's glory. So, if you're on Facebook, head across to the Christianity Works page and press the like button. When you do, you'll start seeing some positive and uplifting posts from us in your feed, including free booklet downloads from time to time. But more than that, when you're touched by one of them, you can share them with your friends, becoming something of a social media missionary for the glory of God. Look, we need to be out there sharing the good news of Jesus. Amen? Well, this is one simple, practical and powerful way that you can do that. So visit the Christianity Works page on Facebook, hit the like button, be encouraged and blessed, and share some of that with your friends too.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.